The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
Welcome to the Ponderosa, my friends, for an evening of songs and stories about the American West.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
So we have a special guest. It's been almost a year. I'm so sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But Christoph is back.
Hello.
Hey, buddy. I
didn't realize it had been that long, but okay.
I think it was August. August of last year.
I think it was. Yeah. That was actually when I came down to the sea in Salt Lake.
Yeah.
August last year. Yeah.
So it might have been before that.
It might have been before that because you said, I'm going to be down.
Yeah.
I'm going to be down and I want to see you guys. And so we went and met with you. Yeah,
glad you had time for that. That was cool.
That was fun.
Sorry, I'm a poor substitute for Taylor, but you're just gonna have to deal with it.
she's got you. Yeah. But anyway, Taylor,
she's got me.
Taylor is she ran a fucking half marathon yesterday, and she is feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she knew she was not going to feel great, so she, you know, let us know she wasn't going to be here. But according to the text messages, she's feeling a little worse than she thought she would. So let's all
send is it our first marathon or?
Yeah, I think she usually runs 10Ks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she's done Ragnar. I actually cannot for life me remember, but
yeah. Ragnar's kind of a relay, so you don't really run the full Ragnar.
So yeah, but I mean, she's fucking awesome and incredible and inspiring and all that horseshit. So way to go, buddy. I hope you feel better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Congratulations on finishing.
Well done. Well done.
I'm even more of a letdown now. Thanks.
I'd still be fucking walking it the next day.
Yeah.
Yep.
I don't run unless something's chasing me. That's it.
You know what? I don't think I'm going to run then either. I mean, I'm going to fight it and die or not. It's like, as long as there's no running.
I would have at this point I could have run for about a 30 second, maybe a 1 minute stretch, and then I would have walked the whole rest of the marathon. Yeah. Or half marathon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am not back in running shape in any way, shape, or form.
Oh God, no.
I tried it out and I was able to do it, but only for about 30 seconds before I'm like, I gotta stop.
I would need like some sort of a sports bra apparatus for my gut.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
To run.
That's helpful. That's helpful.
My legs, I spent all day on my legs. So I am pretty sure I could run a little, you know, Christ, I can walk a few miles, but, I don't like how much of me shakes. I'm not a fan. All right. Look, we got a simple breakdown for the show today. I got some good news. I got some bad news and I got some Republican news.
So two
glad you pulled that
news.
Apart.
Yeah. What I should have done was put the good news at the end, but I don't do that because I don't know. There's never enough good news. I don't think I'll have enough to fill a segment, and then I do, and I can't find any more. But
it's all fair.
Yeah. But there was a really touching story this last couple of weeks. From an author named Sean Warner. And Sean wrote a book, excuse me, and I'm trying to read the name of it right now, and all I can see in the picture is his name. But he writes a book, and he's out doing the work. You know, he's got himself a visit. He's doing a book signing at a store, and he was just sitting at the table all by himself. And a TikTok guy named Jared, I'm just going to go ahead and call him Swearingen.
That's the name.
Yep. Cocksucker. And if you haven't seen Deadwood, don't at me. Go see Deadwood instead. Yeah. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Yeah, Jared Twenington took a little video of the guy, Sean Warner, the author, sitting at the table, and then, you know, walked up and chatted with him for a little bit, and bought the book and put it out on his TikTok. In the video, Mr. Warner can be seen talking about the book, says that it's about a girl who teams up with a ghost with multiple personalities to solve the mystery of her parents' murder. And it's like, okay, just now, I'm in.
I'm in.
That sounds fucking great.
Yeah. When's the movie coming out? Yeah.
Yep. So Swearingen says, I just wanted to show a stranger some kindness. I imagined all the times I've worked so hard and never gotten any recognition. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so he puts it out there. The video went viral with 17.6 million views, 3.1 million likes, over 22,000 mm-hmm. comments. So the book on Amazon has now amassed over 200 reviews and has caused Warner to become a number one best-selling author on Amazon. Mm. Warner has posted a video on his TikTok addressing what happened. He said, I want to thank everybody for the love and kindness for the video that Swearingen posted. It was totally unexpected. I'm in shock. I don't even know what to say at the moment. So I am just tickled for this guy. Warner is a veteran and a retired engineer, mm-hmm. you know, and this is all he's wanted to do was write a book. And
as a, the title of the book was Lee Howard and the Ghosts of Simon's Pierce Manor.
Yes, there it is.
Just wanted to, we didn't say that.
I just love that the ghost is one ghost with multiple personalities. That just made me happy.
Yeah, not ghosts, but the ghosts of the ghost.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very clever title. I like it, and if I ever get $20 to scratch together, I'm going to pick myself up a copy because I really, really like it.
Right.
I got to pick up a copy of this. Mostly, I support this guy because here he is, 58, mm-hmm. finally pursuing his final childhood dream, because much like me, when he said, I want to do this, they say, you can't make a living out of doing that. And so he held back for years until finally, like me, he said, if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. And thank God for this Swearingen guy who just showed up and was like, you know what? I'll put you on TikTok.
Yeah, using social media for good.
Mm-hmm.
What does it say anything about what the Swearingen guy? What is he? Does he have like lots of followers, or did I miss?
He must. He must. I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really say, but I'm guessing that he does now.
Mm-hmm.
With 17.9 million views, you got to figure a couple people followed.
I'm looking at Sean Warner's website, and it now has a list of As Seen On, and there's like 15 different media outlets. Daily Mail, Yahoo, New York Post, ABC News.
Yeah.
Suddenly,
it ends with Breitbart.
Dude, he's just doing the gig.
He's doing the tour. Right?
You're just doing the tour. You're going to talk to everybody.
And this book is self-published, I believe. It's going through one of those self-publishing kind of things where you pay him a shit ton of money and they print copies of it.
Yep. No, you run it through. There's an Amazon thing where you can run it through Amazon.
It's like Inkscape or something like that.
And then Inkscape prints on demand for you. And they take a portion. Well, this would happen anyway if you had a real publisher. They take a portion to print it, and then you get a portion of the sales. Mm-hmm. So, but Amazon is the one
what
who
it means.
Amazon's the middleman for all that. Yeah, but he owns. Yeah, yeah, so, he fully owns the rights. So
it could be republished through a different publisher. Mm-hmm. with fantastic rights because he owns it, with fantastic leverage.
Yeah,
this guy's got it. If you look at his website a little bit more, it seems like the novel might be like a teen kind of mystery.
Yeah,
novel.
It looks like it's YA.
I think it's YA.
Yeah, young adult. Okay. But no, I think it's great. I mean, there's been some mm-hmm. amazing stories. This would fit right in for a really great Netflix series.
Mm-hmm.
Probably next.
They've picked up a lot of those.
It would. It is exactly in their wheelhouse, and it wouldn't be that expensive to make. Yeah, totally. Yeah, do it. Do it, Netflix. Let's do it. Let's make Sean Warner a billionaire.
So on that, building off of that.
That is a good story. Mm-hmm.
Just feel good, warm and fuzzy, make you all, the world is working the way it's supposed to.
My heart's warm.
Yeah, child molester, ex-gymnastics doctor Larry Nassar was stabbed a whole bunch of times in prison. Yay!
That's a shame.
Way to go, right? Stabby guy. We're going to talk about him in a minute. But yeah, disgraced sports doctor Larry Nassar, who was convicted of sexually abusing hundreds of female gymnasts, was stabbed multiple times in an altercation with another inmate at a federal prison in Florida. Finally, Florida delivers something good. Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't been released yet.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Whereas, not a crime in Florida, is it?
Yeah, if Trump were president still, he would have had his pardon by now.
Exactly.
But yeah, he's serving decades in prison for convictions in state and federal courts. He admittedly sexually assaulted athletes when he worked with Michigan State and USA Gymnastics. he has also pleaded guilty to possessing child pornography. All I could say is somebody needed to get that guy a bigger shiv.
Yep.
Because Nassar survived. But deep down inside, I am warmed by the possibility that because he survived, he'll go through it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's the one. That's the silver lining of him living through it, is somebody else can poke holes in him again. And I hope that they do.
You can always dream.
But yeah, the prisoner, suspected of stabbing Nassar, said that it's because he opened his mouth and something lewd came out while they were watching a Wimbledon tennis match on TV. The inmate, identified as Shane McMillan, aye, good on you, lad!
Hey! Well done!
Previously convicted of assaulting a correctional officer in Louisiana and attempting to stab another inmate to death at a Supermax in Florence, Colorado. So, you know, a cuddle.
Old Stabby McMillan himself.
It's like a walk and talking product from Build-A-Bear, this guy.
Exactly.
McMillan attacked Nassar in his cell last Sunday with a shiv, stabbing him multiple times in the neck, chest, and back before four other inmates pulled him off. McMillan, 49, told prison workers that he attacked Nassar after the sexually abusive ex-U.S. gymnastics team doctor made a comment about wanting to see girls playing in the Wimbledon women's match. This is the second time Nassar's been assaulted in custody. He's serving decades in prison, you know, and will die there. We just don't know when.
Depends on how big of a shiv the next guy has.
Gonna be now, gonna be tomorrow, gonna be in decades, who knows? But, you know. Hopefully it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
More good news. Construction of a massive municipal park is finally underway in the city of Irvine, California. The Great Park Project broke ground on the old El Toro Marine Corps base. 21 years after voters approved the ballot measure ordering the state to create the park on that site. It's going to take another 10 years to build. It's going to be 1,300 acres and include a lot of museums, an amphitheater, a veterans memorial garden, aquatic center, a sports complex, and two lakes. $455 million was raised for the project through 30-year municipal bonds that will pay off $1 billion to investors, and it comes after repeat failures from past governments to find the money in time to kickstart the work. So that's really cool. I mean, El Toro's big, boring base.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I mean, that's just it. And I'm looking at some of the planning pictures they have for this development, and it is good looking. It's very good looking.
Fort, is it Irwin? It's out in the desert?
I think they're all out in the desert, yeah.
Yeah, but Fort Irwin, I was reading, or I saw on Robert Downey Jr. did his series, Downey's Dream Garage.
Yeah.
Or Dream Cars. He went out there to visit them, and they've set up, they have a hospital on the base that is fully solar powered. All the electricity they need for the hospital is solar generated. I mean, it's just, it's incredible. And what they're going to be able to do now taking this old base and turning it into a park. It's like same kind of thing. Make it, you know, making it nice, making it for everyone. I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be the biggest park in California, the country of California.
The country of California, yes.
If I were California, I would have seceded years ago.
And yeah, they're getting pretty close.
Irvine City, is that where it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that's south of land. Okay.
Yeah.
So the European Union finally passed a key law to protect nature. This is a core pillar of Commission President Ursula von der Leyen's European Green Deal. After months of debate from dipshits and opposition campaign that scientists have called misleading, because scientists don't swear as much as we do.
Yes.
The nature restoration law will place recovery measures on 20% of the EU's land and sea by 2030, rising to cover all degraded ecosystems by 2050. Yeah, very, very close to killing the bill, the sway of about a dozen votes in Strasbourg on Wednesday, did water it down, but they're going to send the proposal back to the Environmental Committee before thrashing it out with details with member states. I mean, somebody's got to take this shit seriously, and it sure as shit not going to be the fucking United States of America yet, so...
No, it is not.
No, we got to fix some shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love the idea around this, too, is that it's about restoring nature the way it was, not necessarily, you know, getting rid of people, but it's like it's a more of a restorative process. And I like that. Like right now, I think the U.S. is, you know, fighting tooth and nail just to be able to say stop destroying. But this is a restorative project.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah.
Taking care of what's already destroyed. Love the mentality around this.
And they actually have precedent for being able to do this restoration stuff and have it work. And so being able to make it happen is a big deal. Right. And the fact that they can say, no, pass this legislation and we'll be able to make this happen because we can show you that we can do it. We've already done it. We just want this to be a mandate among the in the EU, not a, hey, this would be nice to do if we could afford to do it. You can't afford to do it, so just do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Honestly, you can't afford not to do it. Let's just put it that way.
Well, remember, most of the people that are leading the destruction of the climate will be dead before it becomes, you know, a fucking horror escape.
And to them, why do they care?
That was, I mean, like, Biden went to, you know, he's in Europe right now. Mm-hmm. I think it's the G8, or the G7, or whatever the fuck it is now.
Some summit, yeah.
So he stops in England for a few minutes, visits with the conservative, the Tory prime minister for about half an hour, right? They have some tea, they enjoy their day. And then he goes over and he hooks up with King Charles, and they sit around for an hour and a half talking about climate change problems, this and that and the other. And one of the opinions I heard on it was like, how fucking refreshing to see two antique white guys who don't need to worry about it giving a shit about their grandchildren's world.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And these are two guys that do have soapboxes and do have, you know, at least a little bit of being able to fix shit as it goes. So, you know, way to go.
The hardest thing about Charles becoming king was he could no longer be a spokesman for his charity, which was actually helping save the environment.
So, all right. Well, that's it for the good news. When we get back on the other side, we're going to have some bad news.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different. But you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And JC.
Just wanted to talk to you for a minute about Patreon. Patreon.com. Patreon.com. That's where we raise the money to put these shows on each and every week. For those of you that weren't paying attention, we didn't hit our fundraising goals this year, and so we need your help to keep the shows going.
Please.
Now, more than ever.
Oh.
We don't say that. That's.
I thought we were not being aggressive.
Yeah, that's bad political writing. Is that one right there?
In the arms of the angels.
There you go. You do that. So, anyway, every week that we record, we put special content behind a paywall over at patreon.com/dfinmedia for you to listen to so that you know deep down inside you're better than everyone else. patreon.com/dfinmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. Join us over there, will you? It's pennies on the dollar.
Please.
Reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
So I used to be in a union. Mm-hmm. Back when I was in my 20s, I worked for Yahtzee, local number 7, Denver, Colorado. The reason I hooked up with them was so that I could hold on. The thing said that you have something to say. Are you okay, buddy?
I don't. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
No, I'm hitting buttons, trying to mute and unmute so I can eat some granola. Ah. I hit the hand up button. That was weird. Sorry.
No, you're all good. So anyway, I joined because I wanted to work at the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. There was a girl over there named Mariah, you know, that I was sweet on. I had met her in school a couple years before, and she got a job there. Mostly because she was infinitely more talented than I was. But anyway, I got the job, but it was a structured job. You know, it's a union. I know how unions work. And so I had to start down in the entry-level stuff, and then you could work mm-hmm. your way up to the Denver Center for the Performing Arts. My starting up was working at the convention center across the street, rolling out carpets day after day after day, putting up pipe and drape. I did promote to pipe and drape, which I liked way better than rolling carpets, because rolling carpets, you're just constantly on your hands and knees, and it fucking hurts.
Yep.
You know, pipe and drape, every once in a while you'll drop a pipe on your head. Big deal. I can take it. So, you know, that was my first thing with the union. The thing that I liked about the union was how it was probably one of the safest jobs I've ever had, to be honest. And you consider that where you're running around with a bunch of fucking, you know, semi-leather clad, tattooed, weirdo, long hairs driving, you know, forklifts and other machines, and everything's just moving at 150 fucking miles an hour. Mm-hmm. You know, never, 2 summers, didn't see anybody get hurt. Yep. You know, almost two years that I did it. You know, they took care of us. The pay was good. You know, the you work past midnight, time and a half. You work more than 12 hours in a day, time and a half. Both of those happen, double time. You work past mm-hmm. midnight, double time. If all three trigger, you're making 2.5. You know? And you'd have time on, time off, time on, time off, because, you know, there's not really that much for everybody to do when the shows are in the convention center. You know, but I felt taken care of. You know, our steward was a good guy. I liked him, and I liked most everybody that I worked with, and you know, you got time to eat. You were allowed to go to the bathroom. You know, basically, not like a job now.
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, and so that's my union touchstone.
It's been very hard to be a government contractor and have to work union adjacent.
Oh yeah.
No. I watch all the union benefits because the GSA or the GWA is a very strong union, and I watch all the things that they get, and I'm like, I'm over here going, well, I'll be over here working then.
They got cake. I got new bad benefits.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So anyway, as we have talked about on this show and the world's greatest comic book podcast now for a few weeks, is the fact that the Writers Guild of America is on strike, mm-hmm. mainly because the residual system in the modern streaming environment is a fucking joke. The last time that they went on strike, It was in 2008, and most of the technologies that are abusing writers now didn't exist yet. So this is a this is a chance for a new contract to address where the system is letting down the people who literally come up with the ideas for the shows.
Yep.
That the parent companies are making their billions and billions of dollars on every year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying, go fuck yourself. We'll just use AI.
Mm-hmm.
Which is going to pop up again. AI is going to pop up again a little later in this segment. So, what it really comes down to is you know, we are in solidarity with the writers. We have been. You know, I haven't written a thing since the strike started.
I've only written for myself. How's that? There you go. I haven't written for anybody. Yep.
So, just after midnight on the West Coast, contracts between the Screen Actors Guild, American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, SAG-AFTRA, and the Alliance of Motion Pictures and Television Producers, AMPTA, their contract expired. No deal between the two had been reached. The negotiating committee unanimously voted to recommend a strike to the national board, and that was approved Thursday afternoon. Nearly 65,000 of the approximately 160,000 members that make up SAG-AFTRA approved the strike authorization with a 97.9% yes vote. The union's actors, dancers, DJs, puppeteers, recording artists, singers, stunt guys, voiceover folks, and other folks, you know, that sort of peripheral to it.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, SAG-AFTRA entered negotiations in its agreement with them. On June 30th, the contracts between the two were extended, expiring midnight on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw midnight on Wednesday was actors leaving, like the example that we used tomorrow is the Oppenheimer London premiere. And the strike triggered halfway through the movie that they were watching, and the stars stood up, took off.
And walked out. Yep.
Yep. And they walked out. Consolidated.
You can no longer, when you're on strike, you can no longer work for the production company, and this would involve a Q&A and press. They can't promote their, they can't promote the movie now. Yeah, no more press. They can't promote the movie. Anybody's in a current running TV show, they can't promote the TV show. One of the theories that has been pushed out, I think Fran Drescher even, who's the president of the union, I think she pushed out the reason why they delayed, you know, they pushed us forward 2 more weeks was to give everybody, you know, to make sure these summer movies came out with star promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they wanted to delay a strike.
I'm going to play. I'm really sorry, everybody. It's hot here in Utah. It's probably hot where you are too, buddy. But it dries out my
85, which is
It dries out my throat, and I cough a lot. And I apologize. I know that's bad sound, but there doesn't seem to be fuck all I can do about it. Anyway, I'm going to play a little clip of Fran talking. You two will probably not be able to hear it, so watch me. I'll give you signs.
Okay.
With great sadness that we came to this crossroads, but we had no choice. We are the victims here. We are being victimized by a very greedy entity. I am shocked by the way the people that we have been in business with are treating us. I cannot believe it, quite frankly. How far apart we are on so many things. How they plead poverty, that they're losing money left and right when giving hundreds of millions of dollars to their CEOs. It is disgusting. Shame on them. They stand on the wrong side of history at this very moment. You cannot change the business model as much as it has changed and not expect the contract to change too. We're not going to keep doing incremental changes on a contract that no longer honors what is happening right now with this business model that was foisted upon us. What are we doing? Moving around furniture on the Titanic? It's crazy. So the jig is up, AMPTP. We stand tall. You have to wake up and smell the coffee.
Our strike rules will not allow any form of promotion for television series, streaming series that have been produced under these contracts. My expectation is that it will bring any actor participation in Emmy campaigning to a close.
So, yeah, all participation in Emmy's promotion, gone.
Gone. Yep. They won't even be there.
Nope.
Yeah.
Until this works out.
The, you know, it's, she was given a route, you know, she gave that big speech and everything, but, you know, and she's always had a little bit of a rasp to her voice, but you can tell she'd been screaming at people.
She was pissed.
You can hear it.
Yeah. Her voice was hammered.
Honestly, I forgot. I keep forgetting that she's the lead of the SAG group, whatever it is.
She's president.
She's the voice of them.
Yeah.
Is it the president? Yeah.
Yeah.
So when I saw her, I'm like, oh, yeah, Fran Drescher. And I hear her voice. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. That's not her real voice that I hear on everything. But, mm-hmm. you know, maybe if she used that good old fashioned Fran Drescher voice she uses on all the shows, they'd end the strike faster.
I don't know.
I see what you did there. Mm-hmm. I see where you went. I followed you. Mm-hmm. You took a walk. I had you back.
I took a walk.
You're right there with him. You're right there with him. I was not, but that's because I got a... I'm not a big fan. I'm a fan of her right now as union president. But yeah,
I love her as a person. I've seen her do other things. I've seen her speak years ago. Mm-hmm. She's a really great person. I can't stand a single role she's ever been in.
No, man, when she turns on that accent for the nanny, it is nails on a chalkboard for me.
I can't. I had to. Back in the day, I'd flip through channels. I'd land on the nanny. I'd be like, nope, keep going. I couldn't, especially if I landed and I heard her laugh. It was like, oh God, get me out of here.
And yet, yeah,
it's funny.
If it's
it's
muted,
funny who they've had.
Never mind. Go ahead.
What was her name? Who played Laura Ingalls?
Oh, Melissa Gilbert.
Gilbert. She was president of SAG for a while, and had to preside over a major strike, a minor strike that SAG went through. So yeah, it's like it's funny to have these. You know, some of these people. It's like, wow, I grew up watching you, or I know who you are, and suddenly, here you are in a completely different role, you know?
Yeah, that was 2000.
Yeah.
2000, SAG and AFTRA, before they became one, had a six-month work stoppage.
Yep.
So 20 years before that, in the 80s, they had a boycott against the Emmys. And then 2012, went on strike together for the first time in 2016. Against 11 American video game developers and publishers, became the longest strike within SAG. So yeah, what happens, and what we're going to get to is I'm going to rearrange my deck chairs on the Titanic here for just a minute. Is the you've got two different reports. One is Bob Iger, who runs fucking Disney, saying, I don't know where these assholes get off thinking they need more money. They make plenty of money. There's not enough money to pay them more.
It's
now
not enough
the
money.
The average the average writer makes about $65,000 a year. Bob Iger makes $80,000 a day. A day.
Yeah.
He's getting $27 million this year. There is a picture of him laying down on the front of his yacht, reading a book, complaining about writers and actors. You know?
And saying there's not enough money to pay them what they want.
We're still coming out of COVID. I mean, I'm down to two professional chefs on my giant yacht. That sort of thing. Then you have another one, when this one's an anonymous, we don't know who said it, we just know that it was said because several people anonymously said it was, and that was the guy that said, no, we're just going to wait them out, we're not going to talk to them until late October. By that time, they'll be losing their houses and losing their apartments, and then they'll be willing to just let us completely abuse them.
Yep.
You know?
We've broken, we're going to break the union. We're going to break them.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, you motherfuckers. So yeah, I wish I knew who it was.
Ron Perlman does.
What's that?
Ron Perlman does.
Yeah, and we need a boycott of their stuff. Whoever said that,
or but, just a random beating.
Yeah, or random. Well, both. I'm why not both?
Yeah. So I'm going to play another sound clip. I hate to do this to you guys, and someday I'll figure out what the fuck is wrong with this goddamn thing. As soon as the website finishes loading. But Ron Perlman heard about this Hollywood studio executive, you know, and had a couple of things to say. According to Deadline, the anonymous studio executives revealed to the outlet that it hopes the strike drags on, putting writers in dire economic straits and therefore forcing them back to the negotiating table. For months, the writers' union has been on strike, but earlier this week, Ron Perlman joined the picket as a member of SAG-AFTRA. And in a since-deleted rant posted to his Instagram on Friday, maybe that's why it won't load, Perlman directed his anger at the Hollywood executive who said they were going to keep the strike going until people start losing their apartments and losing their houses. And he said, and here's the quote, "Listen to me, motherfuckers. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. Some of it's financial, some of it is karma, and some of it is just figuring out who the fuck said that. And we know who said that and where he fucking lives."
Oh.
Yep. There's a lot of ways to lose your house. You wish that on people. You wish that families starve while you're making 27 fucking million a year for creating nothing. Be careful, motherfucker. Be really careful, because that's the kind of shit that stirs shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's delightful.
I love you, Ron Perlman. Keep it going.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it's not going to load.
I saw a screenshot on his Instagram that has the, what's it, top 10 highest paid Hollywood execs in the last 5 years. Here it says Bob Iger is $195 million. Now, is that over 5 years, or is that?
I think that was the last 5 years before he retired, before he unretired to come back.
Unretired, yeah. But then you got, you know, the Warner Brothers, David Zaslav, $498 million.
That dude gets paid for just turning everything he touches to shit.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is one talentless motherfucker who I cannot understand why they pay him what they do.
Because he has a big company.
He's just been around.
He operated everything in his company at a loss. That was what he was doing.
Yeah.
And it was like, no, we're going to cancel you, was basically his attitude every time. And it was just, it was bullshit. And, you know, here's the thing about this strike. This is a high profile strike. This is a high, these are celebrities. Therefore it's a high profile union that is going on strike. This is the kind of thing that unions go through every day in this country. And without union protection, you wind up exploited. The thing that it really upset the Screen Actors Guild and pushed them over the edge was that studios were proposing that they hire an actor to come in. They'll pay him $200 to come in for a day. They scan them, and then they get to keep that image in perpetuity to use in anything they want and never pay that guy a single residual ever again.
You basically wipe out extras in one fell move for $200.
Yeah, you could that way. If you, I need 100 extras in the background. I need 100 people in the background. Okay, let's just grab some scans and throw them in the background. Meanwhile, there is no union for special effects or any kind of digital artists. They haven't formed a union at all. They pretty much work on contract and get fucked over all the time. We've all seen where unions have helped and places where, unions have been shut out. And unions have lost their strength in this country over the last 30 years. And this is one of the last unions that still exists that's strong, barring any of the new ones that have recently started, like the Starbucks union and that stuff. So we need to see union growth again. And this is not something that should be, you shouldn't be thinking of it as, oh man, I'm not going to get my new shows. You should be thinking of it as stick it to the man, stand up to the people, because we all need this.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
You're paying your monthly membership. You're paying your monthly membership. Wouldn't you rather go to the people that fucking make your fucking shows that you have the membership for?
Yeah.
As opposed to some asshole who sits there. He's the reason Netflix never gives a season four. It's assholes like him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's assholes like him are the reasons I get fucking one season of the October Project. It's assholes like him that fucking got rid of Firefly.
Mm-hmm.
Though that one was a lady. But still, my point stands. Assholes.
The more recent one has been, you know, trying to figure out the streaming situation. You subscribe to a streaming network. You expect to be able to see the stuff on their network as often as you want. And it started with Warner Brothers Discovery and HBO Max, now Max. And now Paramount Plus is doing it as well, where they're saying, we're taking it off. Well, we're canceling the show, and then we're taking it completely off. That way they don't have to pay any residuals back out.
The whole HBO Max to Max thing was by turning Max into a separate company so that it was only paying licensing fees and didn't have to pay residuals.
Exactly.
That's why all that
HBO
content
is set up for residuals. Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, Mission Impossible.
And they put it all under one umbrella too. They brought all of those streaming services under one umbrella.
Yep.
Saying now you got the Discovery Plus shit in there too. So yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one fell swoop of getting it all together.
So more films have shut down. Gladiator 2. Juror number 2. Clint Eastwood's going to be his last directorial outing. Actually sounds really interesting. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 2 has had to halt. And the Brad Pitt Formula 1 race car driving show has stopped. Those are just this last couple of days.
Yeah.
What else we got as bad news? Oh, it turns out Hunter Biden's whistleblower is actually a Chinese agent and an arms dealer who sold Iranian oil. That's awesome. Who the Republicans have. That's who the Republicans have. And this guy disappears and they like can't find him. Turns out I think he was in like Belarus or something, and he got arrested and is getting shipped back. But yeah, that was for selling weapons. He's an illegal arms dealer.
Awesome.
It's not that they couldn't find him. They really did not want to find him.
Yeah. Once they realized, oh, fuck, don't find him. Please don't find him. Oh, fuck, they found him.
Yeah. So you've had James Comer running around going, we just don't know what to do because our whistleblower. Right. It turns out, no, he's an unregistered agent with the Chinese communist government and has been arrested for, you know, violating sanctions against Iran and illegally trading arms.
Yeah. I wonder why he would try to undermine the government of the United States.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then in the final of the bad news, this one's a little niche for me, but the 2023 Women's World Cup is coming up.
I'm so looking forward to this.
The big five European bids for coverage are so completely... Okay, so it works out like this. Usually, the television rights to run World Cup for men and women are sold as a package.
Right.
They split them off to sell them as different packages and to sell the rights separately. And so you have, if I've read this right, a whole shitload, Spain, France, Italy, and Germany, and the United Kingdom, big soccer fans.
Yeah.
Well, they feel like, well, we bought the boys. We don't want to buy the girls. And so they underbid. you know, to which, what's his name? Infantago. Anyway, his thing was that he says, today I have repeated... my call for broadcasters to pay a fair price for FIFA Women's World Cup 2023 rights. We did our part. We raised the prize money to $152 million, triple the amount paid in 2019, 10 times more than 2015. He said, however, the offers from broadcasters, mainly in the big five European countries, are still very disappointing and simply not acceptable, especially considering that, one, 100% of any rights paid fees paid would go straight into women's football, into our move to promote actions towards equal conditions and pay. And two, public broadcasters in particular have a duty to promote and invest in women's sport. Three, the viewing figures for the FIFA Women's World Cup are 50 to 60% of the men's. Yet the broadcasters' offers in the big five European countries for World Cup are 20 to 100 times lower than for the men's World Cup. Whereas broadcasters pay 100 to 200 million for FIFA World Cup men's. They offer only 1 to 10 for the women's cup. This is the good quote. Ready for the good quote?
Mm-hmm.
This is a slap in the face of all the great FIFA Women's World Cup players and indeed of all women worldwide. So to be very clear, it is our moral and legal obligation not to undersell FIFA Women's World Cup. Therefore, should the offers continue not to be fair towards women and women's football, we will be forced not to broadcast FIFA Women's World Cup into the big five European countries. Whereas I have to watch it on fucking Fox Sports.
Yep.
Very frustrating.
I guess in defense of those big five European countries, they don't have a team worth of shit compared to the U.S. women's soccer team. So, you know, why would they want to watch them get stomped on?
The fact that you're not waving a flag right now is breaking my heart. That is. All right, look, we're going to take a little break. We're a little long this segment. We'll be back on the other side with the Republican news.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This week on the 500th episode of the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Manny Cotto. The Screen Actors Guild is on strike.
I mean, I don't blame them one bit.
Don't be a scab.
Hollywood executives expect to break the WGA strike.
Don't be a scab.
In moving pictures, Wolverine will have the yellow costume in Deadpool 3. James Gunn has cast more heroes in Superman Legacy.
I better get what I want.
The Ahsoka trailer was released.
It looks so good.
There's a blue dude.
Comics, the Winter Soldier will lead the new Thunderbolts. Ms. Marvel died and is coming back.
I got better.
Kirkman also has the Universal Monsters. Blah.
Blah.
We review Moon Knight number 25, Fallen Friend, The Death of Ms. Marvel, Night Terrors, and Impact Winter. All that and QAnon eats babies.
No, you do.
Nope, I said what I said. Face Red, True Believers, it's the 500th episode of the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and thecomicbookpodcast.com.
It's an introspective looky-loo back at the first 499 issues of this particular podcast. Everyone enjoyed such a thing. No one feels alienated by talking about, I'd say, 400 things they weren't involved in. It's grand. Ted Cruz.
Everybody's hero.
Yeah. First reported by the Daily Caller, Ted Cruz took to the Senate floor on Tuesday to ask for support on the Informing Customers About the Smart Devices Act, which will require companies to notify customers of cameras and microphones in everyday appliances and devices.
Glad we're going to those really hard issues that are really affecting people.
Yeah. Yeah. According to the Senate's Committee on Commerce, Science, Transportation, Senator Paul Rand opposed Cruz's request for unanimous consent to this bill. Today, internet-connected smart devices are commonly used in American households, light bulbs, mirrors, air fryers, coffee makers, trash cans, kitchen faucets, refrigerators, and more, all becoming, quote, unquote, smart. We're able to control them with our phones or voice commands, Cruz said. It's expected that in a few years, nearly 70% of American households, more than 80 million households, Dude, your math on that, yes, it is more. It technically is more than 80 million households. Yes. Is that 70% of Americans? No. You left several tens of millions out of that number, you fucking moron. Jesus, well, fuck, what did you let Marjorie Taylor Greene do your fucking math, you moron?
About 70% of us can't afford to install, you know, smart devices.
Actually, every once in a while, Amazon will put up like a box of four smart plugs, you know, for like 10 bucks. And I'm always like, deal. I literally am looking at a box of smart plugs over here. I just haven't even cracked open yet, but I bought them because they were on sale and I had 10 bucks.
I have smart things all over my house. I've got, you know, lights hooked up to them. I've got Siri and Alexa fighting for my attention. That's fine, but I don't know what's.
You know, it's just like just like with social media. You go in knowing what you're getting. It's those who go in and go, wait, they're spying on me. It's like, dude.
Yeah. So. There are already laws protecting people from these types of things in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So we definitely should start putting in some very smart, legislation around what's going on with your information that you're releasing on the internet, whether that be through text, voice, or other methods. That's great. But just coming out and saying, no, don't put those smart things. I want to know when my things are. This is just an unconstructive bill.
Let's help the mouth breathers understand that it's going to take your.
Well, yeah, he puts up a big poster behind him. From China with love, making it feel like, China that's going to come in.
Yeah, China's spying
the ones
on
building
you.
On everything. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones that are spying.
So I do have. I do have. Now, I just...
Sorry.
No. It's
sorry the dogs.
Cancun Ted. Dude, my dogs go off all the time. Doesn't matter. We're dog-friendly now. I said, one of the potential trade-offs is our privacy, said Cruz. In Texas, we've become very aware of that cost. Oh, have you, Ted?
Tell me
more, Cancun Ted. He said, in the past few years, smart thermostats have allowed electric companies to control the temperature in your home from afar in the name of conserving energy. Pin. You live in Texas. You deregulated. Your fucking power structure can't even keep up with temperatures, winter or summer. And you guys basically gave them carte blanche to do that in Texas, you fucking moron. You did it. You did this. You built this fucking house. You lit the trash can on fire and burnt the fucker down. This is all of your doing.
And yet, me, who lives in one of the reddest of red states, I refuse when they ask to put a limiter on my... on my electrical use, especially in the summer.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, no, that 220 volt AC is going to fucking run because I don't like being hot. And I don't let them put a limiter on. They can't force me to have a limiter. So, Ted, get your shit in order. Yeah.
So, yeah, his final quote was, I don't think the American people want their air fryer spying on them. And at a minimum, they have the right to know if their air fryer is spying on them.
Are you spying on me, Ninja? Yes.
No. No, the guy who monitors his channel told me to say no.
Oh, fair.
Yep. So the Supreme Court did a thing basically saying that it's okay to discriminate from now on.
Yes.
Okay. So a Michigan hair salon owner is saying that they will refuse trans and queer clients. Transgender people needing a haircut should, quote, go to a local pet groomer, end quote, Christine Geiger wrote.
Bitch.
Yep. She's the owner of Studio 8 Hair Lab in Traverse City. She says that she's okay with lesbian, gay, and bisexual people, but refuses to use preferred pronouns and has a right to deny service.
No, but I'm okay with the gays, you know.
Yep. She said, if a human identifies as anything other than a man or woman, please seek services at a local pet groomer. You are not welcome in this salon, period.
The pet groomer quote is enough to, that's what, yep. It's one thing that to say, I refuse to service them. It's like, okay, well, you're an idiot. But to say the pet groomer thing, I was like, I want to kick your ass now, lady. That's it.
She says, this is America. Free speech. The small business has the right to refuse services. We are not bound to any oaths like realtors are regarding discrimination.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. You can refuse service to anyone. That is your right.
Yep.
And it is the right of another person to say you're wrong and to scream about it. And to say you're full of shit and you should and tell everyone what you have said and what your attitude is so they don't give you their business. That's how free speech works. Are you shocked by that, lady? Because that's how it works.
And you go deeper and deeper into this, and this is a long fucking article because somebody pointed a camera at this lady and she did not shut up. And everything she said was just far more hateful than the things she said before it.
Mm-hmm.
She says that the plus in LGBTQ plus, is for child molesters. That's what she says. It's not, but that's what she says. So
the exact quote is, the plus is for MAP, M-A-P, minor attracted person, a.k.a. pedophile.
Yeah, yeah.
The fuck is she talking about?
Nonsense, QAnon shit.
Nonsense. It's QAnon bullshit, yeah.
Yeah. Hundreds
I'm okay
of,
with it. Yeah. I have no issues with the LGB.
Yeah, but the T.
And the Q and the plus and the A.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. We laugh at these people, but there's so fucking many of them that believe this shit now. Mm-hmm. That just swallow it hook, line, and sinker, and they vote. And that's something we need to be we need to make sure everybody's aware of. These fuckers vote.
A lot.
And they will, and we're not going to change their opinion talking about them on our little show that mocks things like this. That's not going to change them. Nothing will change their opinion. They believe it like a fucking religion. But you have to prevent their vote from counting by countering their vote by getting out and voting. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. All right, moving on.
Well, I hope that's what happens. Hopefully we see a resurgence of voting like we did in like the 90s. You vote to rock and something, bring out the younger voters more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it, younger voters. We know you guys listen to podcasts. NBC has learned that hundreds of thousands of vote-by-mail requests have been wiped out of the system in every county of the state of Florida.
Surprise, surprise.
Yep. That means that if you put in your application to vote by mail, it's gone, and you will not be getting your ballot.
Yep. Make whatever plans you have to get to the polling place.
Yep.
Schedule the day off now. Even though your employer won't want to give it to you, schedule the day off because you're going to need to go stand in line.
Yep. A new law signed by Governor Ron DeSantis requires counties to purge all requests for mail-in voting before every general election. They claim it will cut down on election fraud, even though no election fraud has been discovered in Florida.
Or pretty much anywhere, except by Republicans.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. I mentioned this is Republican news, right?
Yeah, yeah. This is all GOP bullshit.
Okay, here we go again. Actor Jim Cavazel, don't care if I'm saying his name right or not, because he's a piece of garbage, is pushing a QAnon conspiracy theory that liberals drink the blood of infants. And he did that, he was doing an interview talking about the fact that Trump will be watching his movie, I can't remember what it's called, Freedom Noise or some shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. He said, I also want to say to Donald Trump that when you watch this movie, you will be at peace and rest because you, more than anyone, have done incredible things Jesus talks about, that you know faith without works is dead. Would one of those works be banging a porn star?
Mm-hmm.
While he's married?
Writing a law and immediately breaking it?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something Jesus would do?
Yeah. I don't think, I don't remember that in the Gospels.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did Jesus have three wives?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember Jesus killing off, more than 1 million Americans because he didn't want to put a fucking mask on.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this film basically suggests that the global elites are involved in a massive sex trafficking conspiracy. Jim pops up and says, I believe Donald Trump was selected by God Almighty, and I'm talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit God. As opposed to Larry, Moe, and Curly? I don't understand. Uh-huh. What's the other God? I don't. Cavazel also talked about the QAnon theory that claims that liberal elites drink the blood of infants to obtain their adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome.
Adrenochrome. Googling that right now.
Adrenochrome gives you...
A chemical compound produced by the oxidation of adrenaline. Okay. I'll take some of that.
Right, right.
It makes you whiter.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, Kodachrome gives you bright colors. Adrenochrome just makes you whiter.
Washes you out. A little CP yeah. tone.
So washes you out. Okay. Yeah, it is a whitewash. Yeah. Jim Caviezel, please keep promoting this movie in public so that you get kicked out of the Actors Union. That's what I want to see.
That'd be nice.
Oh.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Are they, I mean, that movie's straight up under the Actors Union and everything, right? They can't make a movie without it. There's several of these movies coming out. This one, and then there's another movie. I don't remember the name of it.
So you can't, you
don't
can
even promote it, but
you can't get a SAG actor to be in it unless you pay his SAG, stuff. You got to pay his union stuff that is required. So if they hire Jim Caviezel, you have to pay all of his stuff. That's the SAG rule, or you can't hire a SAG actor. There are plenty of actors who aren't SAG who would love a chance to be in a movie and will do anything. And they can continue to make movies without SAG actors. But at this point, they're all scabs.
Yeah.
Particularly if a motion picture company who is, you know, a major or a distribution company who normally has to, you know, deals with unions, chooses to release this, they're basically taking scab work and putting it out there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the lowest form of life is the scab.
It is. And then just to tap off the end of the show here, gang.
Mm-hmm.
As we scream up towards our hour, GOP Republican Representative Eli Crane got a little criticism after giving a little speech on the floor in which he threw out colored people as a descriptive for African Americans or black folks. Yeah, he referred to non-white Americans serving in the U.S. military as colored people.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody's like, can we strike that from the record? And he's like, what for?
What'd I say? What's wrong with that?
Yeah, he said, my amendment has nothing to do with whether or not colored people or black people or anybody could serve. And then up pops Beatty.
Mm-hmm.
Joyce Beatty, who's like, I want those words stricken from the record. I would have left them in the fucking record. Trot those fuckers out every goddamn election.
Yep.
That's just, really, you white waste of skin.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He's full of adrenal chrome.
Yeah. He says he misspoke. That's what he said. I misspoke. It was heated. You know.
Misspoke. Mm-hmm.
The way I really feel popped out. All right, gang, that is it for this show. Christoph, thank you so much, buddy.
That was fast. Yeah,
now it was fast. But for those of you that enjoy the dulcet, almost dulcimer tones of Christoph, you can join us over on Patreon, where there will be at least 20 minutes more of that.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com.
I'm going to talk for the whole 20 minutes. Finally.
Oh, you bet. I'll just set it to record and go get something to eat. Patreon.com/DefenMedia, DEFEN Media. That's where we go every week that we record to give you, our Patreon patrons, something special.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I'm looking at the links. Oh, it's going to be something special.
There's some special stuff here.
I've got some shit to say about it, yeah.
Especially that third
short,
one.
It's short butts level special here.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Narf.
And so, hey, by tomorrow, if you ignored the commercial, tomorrow is the 500th episode of the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Congratulations, sir. Congratulations.
Thank you. 500 episodes in the can.
That's practically a shit ton.
Or in the memory drive of Jeff's computer. Yeah.
Yeah, that box is right here. We're still waiting for enough money to go in to get the data recovery done.
Yep.
Anyway, patreon.com, folks. Patreon.com/defenmedia, DEFEN media. That's where we are. We're at theleftshow.com. I think that's about it. We got anything else, gang?
Nope.
All right. Then let's all go do... what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.